Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome back to The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. My name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. And I'm very pleased to be joined today by Raoul Peck, who is the director of a great film essay sort of thing called I Am Not Your Negro. Came out 2017, 2016. Great movie. It's on HBO Max now. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. And Exterminate All the Brutes, which was a HBO series that came out in 2021, I believe. He is on the show today to talk about Orwell 2+2=5. Feel like it's very relevant to our moment. Mr. Peck, thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's go with the most basic question first here. Why Orwell? Why now? What was it about the life and times of Orwell that jumped out to you as a filmmaker to say we need to re-examine him, reintroduce him to the people, remind him of what his work meant and stood for in this moment of history?
Well, we are in a time of destruction of everything we knew about what democracy is, what are the counterpower, what is, you know, public discussion, public discourse, what is language, what is objective truth, etc. All those concepts were analyzed by Orwell and used in, you know, whether in his essays or novels. That was the most amazing thing, making this film, is to see how deep this analysis was and how current every single of his, I would say, development are truthful today, and how you can use them to analyze what's going on today. Because what he worked on was all those authoritarian tools, to call it in a short term, were used in his lifetime. You know, he went to the British colonies in Burma and learned firsthand what it means to be in the middle of a repressive regime. He was a colonial policeman for 5 years. He went there as a 19-year-old young man. And he, you know, discovered himself as a tool for imperialism, as a tool for colonialism. And he did not like that. You know, he realized what role he was asked to do. And that was one of the major turning point for him. And the second turning point was when he volunteered to go fight in Spain, you know, on the side of the democratically elected, leftist government. And when the military, led by Franco, decided, you know, they're going to putsch. And he went, like many other British young people, French and many European countries went to help as individual to uplift democracy. And he learned that again the hard time, because he saw how by the order of Moscow, his own comrades start killing each other. You know, so people think of Orwell like a science fiction writer or prescient dystopian writer. No, he wrote about what he went through himself. He saw how the destruction even of a normal thing like the truth could totally negate any democracy. He saw how the use of words and language could destroy your daily understanding of what democracy is and how the dominating force used those tools to basically start destroying democracy. And we are in the middle of such a time. What we did not expect is that it would happen in the United States.
Let us can you talk a little bit about your own background? Because I think this can help inform the perspective of the film, which is very interested in Orwell's own childhood and upbringing. You had your own, a kind of chaotic and difficult childhood in Haiti. Could you tell the listeners where you come from and what you went through?
Exactly. I was born in Haiti, and I was old enough, even though I was 7, 8 years old, when my father lost his job when Duvalier, the dictator, was elected. I know how it feels in a family to be erased just because you didn't vote for a person. And then we left for Congo. But even in Haiti, I remember very vividly when my parents needed to talk, whispering, basically. Where we became suspect of any cars passing by the house, or suspicious of the neighbors, because we didn't know, were they with the system or were they, with us, and you could feel the change within the society. You could feel people starting not to trust each other. People afraid to interact with each other. And the violence as well that comes with it. The internal violence where you are repressed, you don't dare say your mind. And also the legal repression, because it comes through the government. People, a citizen doesn't expect that the abuse would come from its own government. It's something that is not at all natural. But those are the signs that, when you made the experience of a dictatorship, you learn to discover, to identify, So that's why there are stuff happening right now, every day in this country. I don't take them lightly. I don't take them as a joke. I don't take them either as, some sort of rehearsal. It's happening, and it's happening until a group of citizens start to say, no, not on our watch. We cannot accept that. This is not normal, because make no mistake, when we can watch on TV how ICE is doing its thing and terrorizing Latinos or anybody who had a dark skin. And who happened to go through a Home Depot. But that reminded me even of Germany, where, the same thing happened in German society when the Nazi was coming, stronger. Those are those little things that you see and you don't think that it's going to grow bigger. But I know when it's not the other, it will come to you, whoever you are. And that's what happened again and again in every time a society is turning authoritarian.
The change within society is of course a key theme and idea of 1984, right? Which is, the idea that you cannot trust anybody. You have to meet in secret. You have to find a corner of the room to write your journal in that Big Brother can't see, et cetera. What are some of when you say you see and you feel this happening in America, what are some of the things that you see people afraid to talk about here that you think that
Well, I think any one of us, including you as a journalist, I'm pretty sure you have to think twice before you ask certain question or before you choose certain thematic. You know what will come. And this alone is unacceptable. It's not what democracy is. When you start having to think twice before, saying something, and sometimes you don't even know why, you just feel it. It's in the air. You know, I can't talk about this. I can't react like this. You know, so those are signs that people who have been in countries with arbitrary government knows to recognize, you know, and those are, you know, the use of language, you know, that we don't even know anymore what words means, because we see people using it. You know, somebody can say, I want peace, while he's bombarding a whole population. You know, you can say the contrary of what you're thinking, and you want people to believe that it's exactly what you're thinking, and that's not true. So when language, you know, Orwell has also a very precise analysis for that. It say the degradation of language is the condition for the degradation of democracy, you know, and that's happening, you know. And by the way, it doesn't happen just now with this particular administration. We have seen it coming for at least 40 years, the degradation of the press, the degradation of truth, you know, to a point where you could, somebody could come on TV and say, well, there are alternative facts, you know. That just doesn't pop up one day from the other. It's a slow burn, you know. Until now, the state itself can decide that you cannot use certain words. You know, where are we? You know, that the state itself can forbid mm-hmm. the use of words.
What
and
words?
Thinking that they are forbidding the meanings of those words as well, you know,
yeah.
Which is absurd.
Let me just ask again, in the American context, what words do you feel that people are forbidden from saying, or at the very least have to think twice about before saying?
Well, most of it. I mean, starting with DEI, with, you know, I don't have the list before me, but there is a list that I've been compiled and publicized. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not something I'm inventing. When we are confronted with book banning, you know, those are every dictatorship. One of the first thing they do is to attack the radio station, the TV station, and start burning books. You know, I've seen my father getting rid of certain books. Even to a point of absurdity, if the book had on the cover anything that say red, mm-hmm. you would have to take care of it, because it means in anti-communist Haiti, you know, and communist means anybody against the government is a communist, mm-hmm. You could be arrested, because the very people coming to arrest you, they are most of the time ignorant, and they would say, oh, red something, okay. There are jokes during the dictatorship about that, you know, like you would have some novel, you know, I don't know, The Red Scarlet. And they would say, okay, you are reading a communist book. So move on. Let's go to the commissary. You know, so that's what those systems create. You know, we might see it as something impossible, but that's exactly that impossibility that we believe in, it makes us, you know, wait and think, no, that they will stop tomorrow. But no, because each day they open another field, they open another door. And if there is no resistance to that, they can open a third one. Then it becomes bigger and bigger to a point where, you know, we are full throttle in cult of personality. We are looking up to what the leader said. We are, you know, willing to shut down our own conscience, our own, you know, belief, to say exactly as the leader say that 2 + 2 = 5. You know, that's where we are.
Yeah, I'll say just from my own perspective, having been a long time advocate of, for instance, free trade. Free trade is great. People, nations should trade with each other. To see the Republican Party embrace tariffs and to say, no, the other countries are paying them. That's, you know, that's not, it's not a tax on you. You're not, has been very, and to see people agree with that, to see people say, yes, Trump is right. We're not paying this. The other countries are paying this. It drives me it drives me a little bit bonkers, because the decline of objective reality is, I think, the key. It is the crux of 1984 and this documentary and the point you're trying to make here. And I think it's we are in deeply dangerous times, because I've described it this way before, that the Googleification of the universe has led to anybody being able to create their own reality. If I can type words into Google and find facts that match my argument and send that to somebody, it's something else. The world is something else. When you were researching this, when you were putting this film together, what were some of the moments that jumped out at you as this is it. This is where reality is coming apart. Where this is, seeing this on TV makes me crazy, because I know it's not true.
Yeah, but you know, whatever we see on Google or on Facebook or whatever, this is not the main problem for me, because as an individual, you know, if you don't have the necessary education, or if you're ready to believe anything you read or you see, that's your own responsibility. My worry is when a democratic state is the one leading the abuse, when big industrial companies, big media companies have monopolies on our minds, and there is no regulation to whatever they are doing, when new technology is being driven by profit and not what is best for a society like AI. Those are the danger. Those are, you know, what we need to fight for. It's not so much the individual. You know, there are all sort of reaction as an individual. But what is worrisome, the state on which, you know, we agree on the rules of democracy. We go to vote. But when you start saying the vote is rigged, you have nothing to stand on. You know, when you are attacking every, you know, thing that you thought were solid, including the truth, you know, even the mathematical truth, you know, that's why we choose that formula, 2 + 2 = 5. You can't reduce it in much more clear manner. So that's, you know, what you say is true, but it's not the scarier part. You know, when you don't know if the justice system itself will be able to resist, or even when the justice system decide to judge something and say, no, that is wrong, you cannot do this, but this will still be done, you know? So where do you hang? You know, what do you do? You know, that's the scary part. You know, everything we have known, you know, the United States have been presenting itself like the epitome of democracy, the epitome of freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. And we are actually, American themselves are seeing the limit of that, that there are instances where, you know, you don't have freedom of speech. There are instances where you're not allowed to be respected, because the justice allow you to be here, by example, and then you're expelled without due diligence. You know, where you, as a citizen or as a resident, you can be expelled to a foreign country you never been there before. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think, you know, that cannot be normal, you know. And that we know from past history of repression in countries that we know are not democratic, you know. But it seems that it's almost accepted day by day that workers could be arrested going to Home Depot, whether they are American or not. You know, they are first arrested, and then they will check if they are a citizen or not.
Yeah,
that's I've seen that in many very unsafe countries.
Yeah, know? the papers please society. We don't want to be a papers please society. That's a dangerous place.
Yeah, or you know, and shoot first and ask question after. You know.
Yeah,
that's where we're going.
No.
And And when it happened to that category of people, make no mistake, it will come to you someday. You know, because that's how that kind of system, it is on, you know, mm-hmm. at the point they're going to start eating each other. You know, again, I'm not inventing that. I've seen it happening again and again, even in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the Nazi system did. That's what the communist system in the East did as well. To a society, it created a society of zombies. And when there were not enough zombies, they start eating each other, you know, to be closer to the chief, to the personality cult, because that no hierarchy count anymore, mm-hmm. you know. I was giving that example this morning, like in Haiti, what one of the things Duvalier did immediately is to take control of the army. And to basically, he had his own militia, or he could relate to a young sergeant that is close to him, and that sergeant had the ability to slap a general in the face. Because what counted was not your grade, your military grade, it was mm-hmm. your, how close are you to the great leader,
right.
you know? And once you start having a great leader, I don't think that's democratic. You know, when you have to, before you say anything, you have to praise the great leader. Where are we? Did you see that for Nixon, for Kennedy, for Bush, for Obama, that his Secretary of State have to praise, you know, Zuckerberg come and praise, you know, all of them. They praise the great leader. Where are we?
Yeah.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is not normal. No, it's not normal. None of this is normal. Which is, you know, again, one of the themes here. I want to you mentioned the use of AI and the reality distorting field of artificial intelligence and how it can help undermine objective truth. There are a couple of elements of. You use AI in the film and you market as AI. You say like, hey, this is generative AI.
You have to
AI.
Be transparent. Yeah.
And I was curious to get your take on that because it's an interesting moment in, I don't know, cinematic technological history where you can make these things and you can have them show what you want. But it is also a harbinger of, again, this kind of post-truth idea. When you were trying to decide how to use this and where to use it and what the context in which you would use it, how did you think about that process?
Well, I knew at some point because it's at the core of part of what Orwell's write. You know, how do you control? How you can? He said, you know, there will be a time where you can edit a book out of pieces that totally artificial pieces, and including the news, you know. So AI is just the current incredible piece of instrument. And my problem is not the instrument itself, it's not the tool. My problem is there are no regulation toward that tool. And that the only thing pushing that tool is not science, it's profit. And we have been there before. you know, I'm old enough to have seen the when internet came. You know, you could only go on the internet through your professor when you were at a university, and it was an incredible tool for knowledge, for writing papers, etc. And then it became privatized, and then it became a money market, and then that opened the flood for many other things that you don't control, because when the base is profit, you know, profit dictate, you know, and that's not the best way to build a society, you know. And as long as we are in that type of capitalistic society, this will happen again and again. And unfortunately, the state, who normally is the one to regulate such behavior, to keep this, you know, rabid capitalistic development that people are ready to make a buck, even though if they have to close down a factory in a small town in Texas, you know. It's Wall Street that decide. If you can have 0.5% more profit, and for that you have to shut down 10,000 people from the layout, 10,000 people, you will do it because it's good for the market. It's good for you, for your pocket, your own individual pocket. But you don't think in terms of society. What does it mean for each of those people you are laying out? So again and again, when you see AI and the development of AI, you know, we are way, you know, from any type of regulation, except in Europe, where the European Union have started to put, you know, protections, you know, so that they cannot do whatever they want. And that's the battle right now. And you see, why do you think all the high tech people or close, or try to be close to the president, because they hope that they will get away without regulation. That's all it is. It's about, again, profit. You know, that's how this society functions. It doesn't function with common sense, like Orwell says. You know, we threw out the common sense part a long time ago.
All right, I'll play devil's advocate here. I'm going to, so if
that's your job.
So let's say the problem is the open internet and privatization and profit, and the decline of objective truth is a problem. Wouldn't Orwell have pushed back against the idea that the government should be the arbiter of objective truth? I feel like this is a key idea of 1984, is that having a ministry of truth saying this is what is real and this is what is not is bad.
Yes, but it's about a government elected, chosen by the people. It's not an arbitrary master or big brother saying what is true and not true. That is contrary to democracy. Democracy is the best of what we found as society, as human being, to be able to live in society. So there are rules, there are laws. There are, you know, structures. There is the Congress, there is the Senate, there is all sort of administrative bodies. And as long as they are functioning properly, and indeed, sometimes they are not functioning properly, but then you reform that, or you vote for another party or another policy. But you can't, it's not that you can't say that there is no way to regulate. I mean, in this country, there have been many instances where the state had to regulate. And by the way, when there is a crisis like 2008, who came to save the show? The state, you know? So it's always like this. Capitalism goes from crisis to crisis. When everything is great, we don't share the profit. But when there is a crisis, oh, now we want regulation. We want the state to save us, you know? And we have been so many times in that circle, you know, so I'm not worried of, I might not agree if a government take a decision, but as long as this decision is democratically made, came through democratic channels and discussions, you know, and I can hear those discussions, I can hear the arguments from both sides. You know, if there is both sides, sometimes it's even more complicated. But I—that's the rule of democracy. you accept what the majority vote for, you know. But when you start, you know, tricking the stuff, you try tricking the balance. You know, you start telling me, you know, the words don't mean anything. You start telling me, oh, you can't use certain words. Where do you get that power? And you speak of landslide. I'm sorry, there is 1% difference between the Democrat and the Republican. What kind of landslide is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's scary. Once you start basically lying, you start telling me that 2 + 2 = 5, you know, my common sense tells me and my experience and my study tell me, no, it's 4. I'm sorry. You know, and that's what we are confronted with. You know, we don't have to agree, but in order to have a conversation, we have to agree to our vocabulary. You know, we have to agree that when you drop a pen, it will hit the floor. But it's hard to discuss with you. We say, oh, if I drop the pen, it will fly in the air.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what conversation is, language is, you know. And when you start banning books, why are you banning books? That's, you have to confront if those ideas are not yours. But if your ideas are so strong, it should be able to have a discussion with that other book or author. You know, that's what dictators as well does. They start by burning books. You know, that's the reality. The Nazis did it. The communist Stalinists did it. Every authoritarian regime. That's why they start first, banning books, burning books, take over the press, take over universities, take over justice, take over the army. You know, that's crazy that I'm saying this right now in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because each one of those things are in danger right now. You know, it's not, I mean, in danger. There are already very clear action in those directions.
Under assault, I think we could say, is fair. Those things are under assault. We're getting the wrap it up signal here. So I'll just say thank you, Mr. Peck, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. The name again of the movie is Orwell 2 + 2 = 5. It's playing in New York and LA right now. I believe it's expanding a bit around the country. Google it, see if you can find it playing near you. I recommend checking it out if you're, again, a fan of, if you are a student of Orwell, if you have read his books, or if you just want a reminder of how broken things are right now.
If I can just add, if you are a real citizen in a democratic state, that's all you need. You know, democracy means informed and educated citizen are concerned about the affairs of their countries, of their cities, of their neighborhoods. That's all it is.
Yeah. Thank you again for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. My name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. See you guys then.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.